For WKU Public Radio, I'm Joe Corcoran. One of the most pivotal and deadly battles of the Civil War took place in Tennessee, at Shiloh, on April 6th and 7th, 1862. Dan Modlin talks with WKU military historian Dr. Jack Thacker and WKU Civil War historian Dr. Glenn LaFantasy.
At the time it occurred, Shiloh was one of the bloodiest battles of the Civil War. Dr. Jack Thacker says that battle helped to change the public perception of the Civil War.
It convinced people that the war was going to be a much more intense war than they thought it was, and a much longer war. Prior to Shiloh, for instance, Grant said, you know, one more battle and they'll just topple over. After Shiloh, he said, we're not going to be able to win it without conquering the South.
Dr. Glenn LaFantasy says that battle in Tennessee proved to be educational to military leaders.
Not only was Shiloh the bloodiest event, bloodiest battle up to that time in the Civil War, but it was the bloodiest battle that had ever occurred in the Western Hemisphere up till that time. And neither side, the common folk on both sides, had no conception of the kind of bloodletting that Shiloh would produce, that he had no conception that that's what this war was going to be like until Shiloh happened. Shiloh proves to be educational to the military leaders on both sides. Grant has had an awakening that this war was not going to be won easily or be won quickly. But also people like William Tecumseh Sherman, who was at Shiloh and who, in fact, was surprised and really holds some of the responsibility for the Union Army being taken by surprise on the morning of April 6th. He learned some lessons at Shiloh, too, some of which involved beware when you're overconfident, beware when you're too confident, because war is something that you can't predict and you don't know what your enemy might do next. Sherman seems to have taken that into account and learned some lessons. And other officers on both sides, this was a learning experience for them, as well as the rank and file. For so many of the boys who fought at Shiloh on both sides, this was their first battle. This was their first exposure to being under fire and to the kind of vicious, brutal combat that would come into being and that was at Shiloh and in so many other Civil War battles. This was an education for those soldiers. This was their baptism by fire, literally, and was something that shook the soldiers who survived and made them learn what this war was really going to be like.
In terms of battle strategy, Dr. Thacker believes Ulysses S. Grant, the Union commander, may have been somewhat overconfident as he approached the battle.
But I think it's also part of his character, the way he did things. He focused on what he was going to do and didn't really spend a lot of time figuring out what the enemy might do. And so when Grant begins to move into Tennessee after his successes, very notable successes at Fort Henry and Fort Donelson, and I might add very easy successes considering everything, Grant, I don't think, was expecting any sudden attack. And in that, he played right into Albert Sidney Johnston's hands in that sense, because Johnston was collecting as many men as he could find. Unfortunately, Johnston didn't have that many men. Grant, however, at this point, had only part of his men at Shiloh. The rest of them, one of his divisions of the Army of Tennessee, was on the other side of the river. And this was Lew Wallace's division. And then Buell's Army of the Ohio was marching to join Grant, but it was also a day's march away.
Dr. Glenn LaFantasy says some historians believe the outcome of the Battle of Shiloh might have been different had Confederate Commander Albert Sidney Johnston been able to gather more troops.
It's definitely true that in losing approximately 12,000 men that surrendered at Fort Donelson in February 1862, he definitely could have used those numbers. Although on the first day of Shiloh, on April 6th, when Johnston attacked Grant's forces, Johnston actually outnumbered Grant's available troops at the time because, as Jack mentioned, one other division was separated from Grant at the time, and Don Carlos Buell's troops were still on their way. And that's precisely the reason why Johnston attacked when he did, was to get the jump on Grant, not just to surprise him, but the sheer fact that Johnston wanted to attack before Buell could link up with Grant.
And during the fighting at Shiloh, Confederate Commander Albert Sidney Johnston suffered a fatal wound.
Yeah, being in a place where he really shouldn't have been as general of the army, and yet he was close to the front, too close as it turned out, took a bullet in the leg behind the knee, bled out as it turned out. He didn't even realize that he had been wounded until it was much too late. He had previously assigned his surgeon to go take care of, ironically enough, some Union wounded that were nearby. Had that surgeon been closer, then the application of a tourniquet would have probably saved Albert Sidney Johnston. What's further irony in all of this is Johnston actually had a tourniquet in his coat pocket, discovered later, too late for it to be helpful.
Also at Shiloh, Dr. Jack Thacker says Confederate officer Nathan Bedford Forrest was able to escape Union capture despite having a serious wound.
Forrest's forces get intermingled with the Union troops pursuing him, and Forrest is actually shot in the back by a Union soldier point blank. Forrest pulls out his revolver and shoots that Union soldier, then grabs another Union soldier, despite being wounded, if you can imagine this, and hauls him up behind him and rides off with his forces. And, you know, one of the most incredible incidents in the Civil War.
The story is true, and, yes. And yet it's incredible. If you've ever been on horseback, yeah. You know how relatively high you're yeah. sitting off the ground. To pull up a man who, in this day and age, the weight of an average Union soldier would have been anywhere between 125 and 150 pounds, probably. But even to pull that weight up off the ground and then use him as a shield behind you when you've already been shot in the back.
Yeah, and also he does it one-handed.
That's one-handed,
yes. Yeah. That's the incredible thing.
One of the Union officers at Shiloh didn't necessarily distinguish himself on the battlefield, but Lew Wallace was later very well known as the author of Ben-Hur.
Once the battle began on the morning of April 6th, he was given instructions by Grant to join up with the rest of the divisions in the Army of the Tennessee and to participate in the first day's battle. But Lew Wallace managed to get himself lost. And when I say lost, he truly was incredibly lost. He vanished for practically all of April 6th, Sunday, April 6th, finally showed up at the battlefield after dark and joined Grant's lines. This was only one of several incidents that would take place during the war in which Grant's estimation of Lew Wallace was extremely low. And during the war itself, Wallace never redeemed himself.
Dr. Glenn LaFantasy is a Civil War historian at Western Kentucky University, and Dr. Jack Thacker is a military historian in the WKU History Department. The Battle of Shiloh was fought on April 6th and 7th, 1862. For WKU Public Radio, this is Dan Modlin.